We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And by his wounds, we are healed. We read again from the Gospel of St. Mark. Jesus speaking to Peter, "You will all fall away," Jesus told them, "for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Peter declared, "Even if all fall away, I will not." "I tell you the truth," Jesus answered, "today, yes, tonight, before the rooster crows twice, you yourself will disown me three times." But Peter insisted emphatically, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the others said the same. Hi, my name is Ed. I'm married. I have three children, all college age or older. I'm a pastor here at Faith. Been here about 10 years. Live in Trevor, just over the border from Antioch. Grew up in Kenosha, just 30 minutes the other direction. Huge sports fan. Drive a black Ford F-150. You and I, we tend to tell a lot about ourselves very quickly in conversation, often without even realizing how much we've revealed. Often, it actually betrays the fact that we kind of like to talk about ourselves. We want other people to know who we are and what we're all about. But how well do we really know ourselves? The respected philosopher Socrates said, "The greatest of all gifts is to know oneself." Well, maybe it's not the greatest gift, but there is value in honestly assessing for ourselves who we are and what we're all about. But another wise man, encouraged by someone else to know thyself, quipped, "But who will introduce me?" And he makes a good point. So often others around us who have to interact with us on a regular basis know us better than we really know ourselves. We just don't realize it. Very often, trying to get to know ourselves better isn't as much about looking in the mirror as it is opening our ears. Peter would have done well to do just that. He thought he knew himself so well. Just look at him that night, chest out, head held high, taking the lead as the disciples made their way out to the Mount of Olives. But he had truly no reason to be so confident in this moment on this night, especially since he knew very well that Jesus had just turned his world upside down in a number of ways. This all started with the beginning of the feast when Jesus washed the disciples' feet. Peter would have none of it. He insisted that there was no way he was going to let Jesus wash his feet. But when Jesus insisted that if Peter did not allow him to wash his feet, he had no part in Jesus, Peter had to come to terms with what we can call servant leadership, humility, in a whole new way. And then the feast began. And it was so familiar for Peter because he had celebrated this feast every year for his entire life, all the way back to childhood. It was like clockwork: herbs, then lamb, then bread, then wine. But then Jesus turned all of that on its head as well by taking that bread and giving it to them with a special blessing and referring to it as his body, and then the cup of blessing he takes and tells them of a new covenant in his blood, and that wine is his blood. Some really big foundations of Peter's life had been shaken that evening. Yet he seemed his old self, didn't he? Confident and certain as he trods the path out to Gethsemane. Little did he know the darkness, the spiritual darkness that was about to envelop him there in that place. If only he had listened. He could have known. He could have known everything about what was about to happen because Jesus had predicted it if he had only been listening to the one who knew him better than he knew himself. It all began with Jesus quoting Scripture, and there's nothing new there. But it's what portion of Scripture from the Old Testament that Jesus chose for that moment that seems a bit strange for a post-Passover devotion. You'd expect it to be something about deliverance or maybe Thanksgiving. This is one of the highest festivals of the church year. It was sort of like Christmas. You'd expect that if Dad was going to have some kind of devotion as the family gathered around the tree to open presents on Christmas Day, that his topic would be something about giving thanks, God's love, our praising God like the angels. But listen to the portion of Scripture that Jesus chose from the prophet Zechariah. I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. Is that the message you'd expect on the highest festival of the year? No, and Peter didn't expect that either. He wasn't too happy about it. In fact, it seems as though Peter was insulted. Hold it right there, Jesus. He says, even if all fall away, I never will. I get that. Do you? It's not just the emotions that we attach to our faith, and especially in the big moments, but that simple realization that isn't it really on Christmas and Easter that we feel our most connected, the strongest in our faith, just as Peter would in that moment on a Passover? And that's why he's so confidently saying, Jesus, you really don't know me as well as you think that you do. And that's when Jesus breaks out that trump card that we've seen him play over and over again this Lenten season. I tell you the truth today, yes, tonight. Before the rooster crows twice, you yourself will disown me three times. That's quite a warning. But it isn't just a spiritual storm watch that Jesus issues for Peter, telling him that all of the ingredients might be favorable for a storm to rise up in the near future. No, this is an all-out blizzard warning, a no-travel decree. Tonight, you will disown me not once, not twice, but three times. And in response, it almost seems as if Peter's saying, la, 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 Jesus, I'm not going to listen to you about this. You're not going to tell me what I'm going to do. I know myself better than that. Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you, he tells Jesus. You know how the story ends. We read it earlier. Later that night, around the campfire in Caiaphas' courtyard, Peter actually swore that he had never known Jesus. Not once, not twice, but three times, just as Jesus had said. I don't know the man. And every year as we hear that lesson read, we think to ourselves, Peter, you heard the warning, but you ignored the warning. You idiot. You should have listened to Jesus, and all of this could have been avoided. Could the same be said about us? How often aren't we the ones puffing out our chest and holding our head high and telling others about us confidently? Don't worry about me. I'll be all right. Don't worry. Don't worry. I'm just watching a movie with my girlfriend in her parents' basement when they're not around. Nothing's going to happen. Don't worry. Don't worry. I'll be okay. It's just one drink. Don't worry. I'm just skipping church for a few weeks this summer while we're on vacation and a couple other weekends while we're doing other stuff, but I'll be back. Don't worry. It was just meant to be funny. Nobody will be offended. No reputations are going to be ruined. Don't worry. Don't worry. It's just an online chat. It's not like I'm really going to do something. Don't worry. It's just a friendly wager. Don't worry, I know Jesus will forgive me. He always does. Don't worry, it's just a little flirting, it's harmless. My favorite. Don't worry, we're all Christians. It's going to be okay. Don't worry. Sometimes I wonder if all those little don't worries of day and month and year don't often quickly become a whole pile of big worry. We think we know ourselves so well. We think we are so spiritually strong. We've grown up with Jesus, many of us. We'll never fall. We're confirmed. We read our daily devotions. We come to Sunday worship, and we even go to Lenten services. Go to Christian school, Christian high school. Go to Bible study. Don't worry, is what we like to tell our parents and teachers and pastors and, the worst of all, ourselves. Yet it's the Savior who is the one who warns us. Remember this warning? If you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. Watch and pray, he told the disciples in the garden. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Whether it's your Christian pedigree or whether it's maybe even a recent success of overcoming a temptation, you and I are tempted to believe that it's easy for us to put our fingers in our ears like Peter and simply drown Jesus out and tell him we don't have to worry about his warnings. Not the warnings from his word, not the warnings from his workers. Don't waste your breath. I don't need any of those warnings. I'll be okay. That's what Peter thought. Let me rephrase that. That's what Peter, the leader of the disciples, thought. That's what Peter, the one who listened to every sermon of Jesus and watched all of his miracles, thought. That's what Peter, the one who was able to walk on water to Jesus as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, thought. And it's that Peter who, because he closed his ears to Jesus' warnings, found himself in this predicament, ill-prepared for the temptations he faced that night. Don't be like Peter. Don't close your mind, your ears, your heart to the warnings of your Savior. Don't miss the warnings he is sounding in your life today. Don't miss Jesus saying directly to you, I tell you the truth, you will disown me. For it is only really a matter of time. But you know the real tragedy here in these verses? Peter was so busy defending himself and babbling on about what he was going to do, Peter missed a beautiful promise of what Jesus was going to do. Did you hear it? Or did you miss it too? It's very telling if you and I missed it the first time we read these words. We've heard this Lenten story for many years. And if we were asked to summarize it, we'd probably come a little flippantly with, Jesus tells Peter he's going to deny him. Peter says he's not. Jesus says, oh yes, you are. Even three times you will disown me. But if that's all we summarize, we've missed an amazingly beautiful promise from Jesus. Did you catch it here? After he said that the sheep will scatter, before Peter gets a chance to ramble on and on, Jesus pinpoints this promise. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. How awesome is that? Jesus tells his disciples they are going to scatter. He declared, I know that you're going to sin, every one of you, but I'm still going to win. After I have risen, I will go ahead of you. Brothers and sisters in Christ, that's why it's so important to listen to everything that Jesus has to say to us, the one who knows us best. If we consistently close our ears to his warnings, there will be so many times when we miss his promises attached to those warnings. Like Peter, we try to win on all on our own, and we always wind up falling. But when the Holy Spirit opens our ears, our minds, our hearts to embrace the warnings of Jesus, we see that the only solution lies in him. Yes, there's no doubt that Jesus says the good shepherd would be struck down. But he says as equally clearly and powerfully that good shepherd would rise again. He would come back quickly, resoundingly, to gather his sheep again, to be reunited with his followers. And that's what you and I also have to look forward to. Maybe that's what echoed in Peter's ears as he wept those tears of repentance and sorrow that night, encouraged to be with the other disciples waiting for Jesus to fulfill this promise. We also can look forward to a reunion with him. When we die, we will stand before God in all of his glory, and we will be welcome there, and we will not have to introduce ourselves. Hi, I'm the one that ignored all your warnings and did what I wanted to do and failed every stinking time. No, rather Jesus will introduce us. Not as rambling idiots who always followed our own way, but as his brothers and sisters bought with his precious blood, sealed by his resurrection. Because of Jesus, we will be those whom the Father cannot deny. Because of Jesus, he will not disown us, but call us his own. And because of Jesus, that's what we already are. Amen.